Okay, guys, come on in and shut the door. It's a lot harder when you have a lot of people, right?
Yeah,
and that means that as any ministry grows, what becomes harder? Well, what becomes harder? It's harder to work together, huh? Yeah, communication. Things become difficult, right? Sometimes you can communicate in a game like that, right? You could say all you want. People are right there in your face, right? But if it's not the right things, right, it's not going to go the right way. And sometimes as things grow, it takes a little more effort on everybody's part for unity to take place. Did that make sense? As things grow, it takes a little more effort on your part to make unity within even a group our size, you know. If everyone from our student ministry came on the same day at the same time, we'd have a pretty big group. You know, we'd be out of this room for sure. And that means it's difficult. Not all of you are going to get along with each other the same way as you get along with other people. And that's normal. And that's okay. You can't get upset about those things. You know, that would be so weird in the world. If you went up to someone and said, "You're not my friend, Sam." And you say, "Well, I don't really know you that much." And you go, and they go, "Nope, you don't hang out with me like you do those friends I see you with all the time." That would be kind of weird, don't you think? You'd be like, okay. Because can you hang out with everybody the same amount of time? You can't. It's impossible, right? You can't spend the same amount of time on each person that you do. Then with your, quote, friends, you know, people that you hang out with. So we shouldn't get upset and be like, "Oh, man," you know. We have to learn to love. So Ephesians chapter 4, guys. Such a good chapter. You guys didn't do your homework, so we're gonna go through it. I don't care if I have to spend 2 hours on it. No. Ephesians chapter 4. Paul has just got done telling about how, in Paul's way, Paul's writing is one where he always talks about the work of salvation first. And then it's after he talks about the work of salvation in your life, then he'll tell you what to do. Because that's how Christianity is, and that's how Christianity differs from the rest of the world and its religions. Christianity says you're saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. You can do nothing to get into heaven. Nothing. No righteous deed at all, Titus says, chapter 3. Can't read your Bible to get into heaven. You can't pray to get into heaven. You can't do anything right to get into heaven. The only way you're going to get into heaven is if somehow God opens up your eyes and your brain to the redemption that has taken place by the blood of Jesus Christ. If that has happened in your life and your eyes are opened to who Jesus is and the redemption that was paid on the cross for your sins, that is a miracle that your eyes have been opened to that you see Jesus is precious. And it's after receiving Jesus and going, "Yeah, man, I believe you died for my sins," and understanding that, then God gives us instructions on how to live. But it's not the other way around. It's not instructions on how to live to get right. It's we're right, so now this is how you live. You know? So I'm breaking things up here. But we always come to first the victory we have in Christ. That's how strong I am, by the way. Isn't that cool? That was a demonstration of strength. I don't even know what that thing was. No. Chapter 4, verse 1. "I therefore, as the prisoner of the Lord," Paul was in prison, "beseech you to walk worthy of the calling which you were called." You were called by Jesus Christ to be a Christian, a follower. The word Christian means Christ-like. So it says, walk worthy of the calling to which you are called. "With all lowliness and gentleness." Notice how that is, lowliness. When you're lowly, when you consider yourself lowly, then how do you treat others? Much better than who? Yourself. Right? Consider other people better than yourself. Philippians chapter 2. In lowliness. When you talk about someone, blah, 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 blah. I don't like them. Are you acting lowly? Are you acting lowly when you talk about other people? No, you're acting what? As a what? As their what? Maybe as their judge? Right? Do you think Jesus could have critiqued everybody? I mean, do you think Jesus could have said, you know what, dude, my 12 apostles, let's just go down the list here. Gotta have a zealot. One of these dudes was a zealot, which was part of this hardcore radical militia kind of organization. He was like an Osama bin Laden dude. That was part of the group of Jesus. Total weird dude, killed Romans and stuff like that. He was a part of that group. So you had dudes that were into murdering Romans. That was one of them. Do you think Jesus could have went, dude, take a chill pill a little bit. God's in control, man. You know, I mean, Jesus could have really criticized him. He had one that was filled with the devil. A lot of critique there, right? His name was Judas Iscariot, right? Probably could have said a few words about Judas, right? You think Peter was a cool guy? He had a foul mouth, right? Peter was a guy where he'd say something and he'd go, Jesus, man, go away from me. From a what? I'm a sinful man. I'm a foul man, you know? John and James, right? The brothers, right? What was their big issues he could have critiqued? They were filled with what? Yeah, pride, lust for power, right? I mean, Jesus all day could have just sat with people all day long and just went, man, dude, you guys don't really love me. Man, you guys just diss me all the time. I mean, it could have been that all the time. But he considered himself lowly in their eyes. Meaning he said, I've not come to be served by you guys. Even though I'm a king, I haven't come to be served by you guys. I actually came to serve you. Isn't that cool? Lowly. Consider other people in the group better than you. Consider other people in the group better than you. Greater than you. So serve them. And if that's your attitude, then you're going to start actually having more unity. So he says, walk in all lowliness and gentleness. Isn't that cool? Gentle. Is your talk gentle? With long suffering. What is long suffering? It's a patience, right? When you're long suffering, you're in the gym. You're pumping iron, right? And man, your muscles are starting to rip. You know? And as they rip, guess what happens? Lactic acid builds up and it gets tight, right? And you can't lift that much anymore. And check this out. If you were in the gym with me and we did bench, right? And I'm benching. After I got to my max benching, if I got done that set, okay, that group of maybe 10 of what I could max do, and then I got 10 pounds in my hand, in each arm, and I started doing it, I'd be like, with 10 pounds. You'd look at me and you'd be like, what, Bo? Why can't you lift 10 pounds? But it's because my muscles are enduring under pain at that point. That's patience. It's long-suffering. The term long-suffering means to endure under pain. That's what patience, the actual root word for patience in the Greek, is to endure under pain. Okay? And that's a good thing. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. Part of love is what? Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. And it says also that love is what? In 1 Corinthians 13, it says love is what? Patient. It endures under pain. The fruit of the Spirit is long-suffering. Love is patient. It endures under pain. You know? That's our attitude towards one another, is to be long-suffering. Not being quick to judge, but being quick to be long-suffering towards one another. We all are a work in progress, every single one of us. None of us, man, have arrived. I got stuff, man, that I have to deal with every day, all the sin sickness of me. Every single day of my life, I have to wake up with a sick brain, a sick heart, a fallen nature, everything. And I hope you guys have mercy on me. I mean, I really do. I hope you guys, like, you know, go, hey, you know, Bo's just, you know, he's, you know, I'm going to pray for that dude. You know, I hope you guys aren't just critical of me, man. I'd hate for you guys to be like, oh, man, Bo, God, what a stupid idiot. I hate that guy. Blah, 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 blah. I'd be a bummer. Man, be long-suffering with me. Bearing with one another in love. So love bears with one another. So if there's disunity, that means there's no what? Love. That's right. So whenever I'm not in good, whenever I'm not in unity with other people, it means there's a lack of love in my life. Because love is always going to draw me to reconciliation. Always to community reconciliation. It's always going to do that. That's what Jesus' love is like. Jesus reconciled us to the Father through his blood. He brought us to the Father into this relationship by his sacrifice for us. Don't you think that Christians should be the ones that are walking in this kind of reconciliation way? Right? I mean, don't you think that would be just logical? If Jesus is the author of reconciliation between us and the Father, don't you think Jesus' offspring, his children, should walk also in that kind of reconciliation as well? Absolutely, man. Should be a part of our life. That's love. That's what love does, is it moves us towards Christ-likeness. We see that. Okay, now in verse 4, or in verse 3, it says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So that's what Paul's talking about. All these things are done in order, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Okay, unity and peace go together. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Very cool. When Paul wants to help us with unity, the idea of unity within the church or within us as a group of people, he talks about the unity within God. There's one God, there's one Lord, there's one church, and really there's, you know, there's all separate kinds of churches. You guys know that. You guys aren't dumb. There's all kinds of different churches. But there's one, in a sense, church that God sees, meaning I don't mean church within a wall. I mean, he sees his spiritual children through people that are born again, people that are made new. Jesus said, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven. You must be born anew from above. And that comes from faith in him. Everybody who does that is a child of God. It doesn't matter which building you're in. You know, per se, it doesn't matter where, you know, whether you're in this church or that church. You can be in a Methodist church and someone can be in Calvary Chapel, but we're still Christians. Does that make sense? There was a time when the church was united. There was a time in history that it was united. And what was it called? What was that period called in history? The Dark Ages. Isn't that nice? Yeah, it was a tough time for sure, you know. Sometimes unity within an organization isn't good. Does that make sense? Meaning this, sometimes when you have like a church and you go, everybody, like, you know what, dude, the guy down the street at the Assemblies of God on Ruth Rock, they're not really Christians. Well, why? Well, because they're not part of our church. See, there's one body, and that's us. Wouldn't that be, we call that what? A cult, right? We call that a kind of an off-group, right? Meaning, what we understand Paul to be talking about is not that Christians that met in Jerusalem, that was the real church, and anybody that met in, you know, another area wasn't part of that church, but that there's one body, there's one group of Christians, there's only one true church, and those are people that are spiritually made new in Jesus. Doesn't matter what room they're sitting in at the time. But we see this. One faith, one baptism, immersion, one gift and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Verse 7. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gifts. Meaning each gift within the church is something that is a gift from God. We can't even boast in the gifts of teaching, the gift of music, the gift of encouragement. All those different gifts are gifts from God given. Meaning even your abilities are not something you can boast in of yourself. Even that is a gift from God. So you can't go, well, I'm better than, you know, you because I know how to play guitar. See, I'm better. You can't do that because the gift is from who? It's from God. You know? And if it's God's gift, that means it's God's and not you. So you can't really brag about something that's not really yours. It's the Lord's. So, you know, we can't look at each other and start thinking other people are better than each other or things like that. And therefore, he says in verse 8, when Jesus ascended on high, he led captivities captive and gave gifts to men. Just quoting the Old Testament and understanding the work of Jesus to give gifts to people. That was part of his the grace of Jesus that would come through his death and resurrection. Now this he ascended, verse 9, what does that mean? Is that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. And I'm not going to touch too much on that right now, though it's a very controversial passage. Verse 10, he who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Okay. So part of what Jesus came to do is not only pay the price for your sin, but upon his ascension into heaven, his resurrection and his ascension, he is still in the business of giving. And he gives out these gifts to his children. The gift of salvation, and not only the gift of salvation, but then he gives them certain gifts, things that they do, and it's for the benefit of all of us. Meaning all of us, our gifts are for the benefit of who? Everybody else, right? See how the unity is supposed to work? It's supposed to be that what God has given to me, I'm supposed to exercise love in that and give it back to who? You. Does that make sense? I'm not to hold it into for myself, but I need to express that gift and give it to you and thank God for it. You know, just as you are to do it to me too. We're to bless one another. It could be just a simple encouragement, Zach. It could be something where you just encourage someone in the church. You encourage someone in the body and say, hey, I know you're struggling. Let's pray. You know, those type of things to build one another up. Now, the reason why Jesus gives these gifts, we're going to see it's very important, but in verse 12, he gives them, check this out, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So the reason why God gives gifts within the body of Christ is to what? It's for what? It's to equip you guys to be able to what? Minister. How many of you guys have ever thought that a pastor's job is he's like the main dude at the church? He's like the main guy, right? I mean, we all have thought that, right? He's the one who does the ministry. But that's not what this passage teaches. It says that God gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, some pastors and teachers, which in the Greek, pastors and teachers is together. So there is no fivefold ministry, if you adults kind of know what I'm talking about. There's no fivefold ministry. It's actually fourfold ministry. So when you go to a church and they say, hey, we're a fivefold ministry church, there is no such thing as a fivefold ministry. You could always tell them, okay. You know what I mean? Just go, whatever, dude. You know? But anyway, it says that God gives us these people to lead in a way for the equipping of the saints, meaning to equip you guys for the work of the ministry. Meaning, who does the work of the ministry? Is it so much the pastor, teacher, those guys? No, it's you guys. Isn't that crazy? We're just here to actually equip you guys, you know, through our gifts, to equip you guys, and then you guys get, you know, see your gifts, and then you guys go equip other people, and it's just kind of this continued kind of snowball effect, you know. That's the job, is we're to equip one another for the saints, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Get that? It's to build us up again. You know, you don't see anything about tearing down here, do you? Everything's about building up, encouragement, love. Do you get the idea of that? Aren't those the themes in this chapter so far? Walking in love, walking in humility with one another, as Jesus was a humble man himself. And Jesus gave gifts to us, man. And we're to share those gifts with one another so that we can build one another up and encourage each other and equip one another so that when you guys go into your world, you guys can minister. And you guys go, man, I thank God for that word that someone spoke over me the other day. Man, they were praying over me and there was a word from the Lord, man, that was for me. And man, now I can go share that with my peeps, you know, in school or wherever I'm at. You know, or help, it helps you maybe to defend the gospel of Jesus Christ better. Notice the whole point of this. It's for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, verse 13, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to a measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Man, that's a huge verse, right? It's basically saying all these gifts, all this love that happens in the church, that we are to help one another and give to one another, these expressions of love through our gifts, are all to be things to move us into unity in the faith, to make us more mature Christians. That's what it means by perfect. The idea of perfect in the Greek is maturity. So that you become to a place of maturity. How many of you guys love to poop in your pants? Okay, Zach, that's scary. We'll talk after. It's amazing how when we get to a certain age, we finally realize that it's no fun to drop one in the shorts. Okay? We just get to an age. It naturally happens. But so, check this out. So many live Christian lives like they literally, spiritually wear diapers still. All the time. People, Christians, 40 stinking years, and all they do is dump in their shorts over and over and over and over and over. And they need someone to wipe them over and over and over. That's a gross description for sure. But I hope you get the point. As Paul says, the whole point of everything, of reconciliation and unity and love and all that working within us, is so that you get out of your diaper, dude. And so when someone's coming up all beefed on something in the church and they're like, oh man, you know, and it's not over sin. There's not a sin issue per se, or even if there is a sin issue, let's say, you know, but you don't go up to that brother. You don't confront him. If your brother has something against you, what do you do? What did Jesus say to do? If you have something against your brother, what did he say to do? Go and reconcile with your brother before you worship God. Don't play God for stupid. Deal with your brother one-on-one. Bam. Matthew chapter 19. One-on-one. You go to your brother. You hear someone say something about you, you go talk to that person. That is someone who is not in spiritual diapers. But someone who is in spiritual diapers will go, oh, well, guess what I heard? That's someone who's in spiritual diapers. And sometimes I got to wipe you guys. I hate to put it that way, but sometimes I'm wiping your booties. Because you guys ain't wiping it yourself. You guys ain't taking it off yourself, taking off the diaper and putting on pants, boy pants. And go, man, let's love one another, man. Let me go talk to my brother. Because I love him. Why? Because Jesus loves him. Because Jesus loves the dude. If Jesus loves him and I'm a follower of Jesus, then maybe I should probably love him too. And try to win my brother if there's sin, if there's an issue. Or if there's a lack of understanding, maybe I need to learn something. Maybe I need to come into that conversation, maybe a little humble, maybe a little more lowly, and consider that person. Maybe what they're going to say is going to hurt, but maybe I need to hear it. Maybe I need to hear it. Maybe I don't know everything. Does that make some sense? Instead of thinking, oh no, I'm right. Oh no, you're wrong. Those are diapers, man. Sometimes pastors' jobs are simply to to clean up. And that's what we do. We get calls from people, blah, 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 and we just wipe. We're just wiping. It's kind of nasty. But we wipe in love. Because we got these new, like, instead of toilet paper, we got this new, like, thing that you buy in the store. It's these, like, baby wipe, like, things nowadays. You know what I mean? What's up with that? It's like, what happened when now we're using baby wipes to wipe our own stuff when we're adults? It's kind of weird. But anyway, it's like adult baby wipes or something weird. But anyway, it makes the process a little better. So we, you know what I mean? So we use that, you know, spiritually speaking. You know what I mean? We love. And of course, I love you guys. So it's like, I want to help you see. So that we grow in maturity. Verse 14, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro. Does that sound good? A children tossed to and fro? No. See, Paul's saying, you guys need to know this so you're not just tossed back and forth, right? Blah, 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 blah. Constant complaining. About with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Sometimes there's deceitful plotting amongst us, right? You know, we know someone thinks that we don't like them. And when we know someone thinks that we don't like them, we think someone doesn't like us, right? But in our heads, we know they don't like us. We know it. But when that person maybe knows that, you know, you think that, and they kind of just look at you and they give you that kind of look, you know, just kind of that look. And you kind of go, yeah, I know, now I know for sure she or he don't like me. You know what I mean? And sometimes there's deceit in our hearts. You know what I mean? Trickery that happens. Instead of just going up to people. You know what I like to do? When people are upset, man, I like to hug them. You know what I mean? I like to just hug them. And when there's conflict, I like to get close with those people. Like, I've learned over the years where I don't like unreconciliation. So what I do is I make sure we talk like right off the bat. And when you're married, you learn this quick, by the way, you should, is that when you're in a disagreement, you don't want to sleep on it. You know what I mean? That's not good. Your wife ain't going to like that too much. Or your husband's not. What? What?
Hugs work good.
Hugs works good, right? You just say, you look at your wife and you guys are in a disagreement and you go, you know what? I love you. And Sylvia goes, man, you know what? Man, I love you too. And I go, yeah, we love each other, man. Let's hug each other. We hug each other and then we think about it and we go, man, you know what? That was lame. What was that all about anyway? That argument. How stupid. You know what I mean? Love does amazing things. So we don't want to be caught up in our deceitful plotting, you know, things in our heart that are deceitful. It says, but speaking the truth in love. Isn't that cool? We speak to one another, but in love. Okay, girls on the couch? We speak to one another in love. If you girls can just keep it kind of mellow. That they may grow up in all things in Jesus, who is the head, Christ. So when we talk to one another, we talk to one another how? Verse 15. In what? In love. In love. If you can't talk to someone in love, you probably shouldn't what? You probably shouldn't talk to them at that moment. That's right. You probably should take a break, go pray. Think about Jesus' death on the cross for your sins. Think about how wretched of a soul you are before a holy God, and you'll be in the right mind now to go talk to someone. Does that make sense? It's hard to be angry at someone when I realize what a sick sinner I am. It's hard to get too bent at one of you guys. Emma, you're such a drag. Man, how could you do that? You know what I mean? It's hard to get that way when I think about, boy, you know, I'm kind of a mess too. You know? So if I'm a mess, you know, I mean, Emma's probably going to have her issues too. You're going to have your issues. You know what I mean? It's like, look at each other through the lens of how Christ, how you and your relationship with Jesus. You need mercy too. Verse 16. The head is Christ, from whom the whole body, us joined and knit together into him by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share, every part of us does its share to help us grow. It causes growth of the body, edifying itself in love. It's all about growing together. Isn't that cool? We're about growing together. Talitha, I don't know you too well. I've known you your whole life, obviously, since you've been in diapers. But I don't know you all well. But that's okay. I'm not going to maybe know you totally all well. But you know what? We're part of the body of Christ. And therefore, I'm here for you. If you ever need anything, man, I want to be here for you. And I hope you're here for me, too. If I ever need anything, that you'd be, hey, Bo, you know, you can always come and we'll pray together, things like that. We might not be buddy-buddy all the time. I might not be like, you might not be texting me, like maybe Aaron will text me, you know what I mean, or something like that. But that's okay. We're growing together in because of Jesus and our unity in Jesus, we grow together in the church. And hopefully there's a mutual love for one another. Even though we're not totally tight. If someone says, hey, what is Talitha's favorite color? I'm not going to like, no. You know, I'll just be like, I don't know. You know what I mean? What does Talitha do? I don't know. You know what I mean? But it certainly doesn't mean, and because you don't talk to me, it doesn't mean I don't go, oh man, Talitha, don't talk to me ever. And when she looks at me, she kind of has this look. You know, it would be ridiculous for me to go, oh my gosh, like, Talitha's mad at me. No, you know what I mean? And then go to Zach, and then go to Zach and go, Zach, guess what, dude? Oh, no. Talitha's mad at me, dude. She's mean. And then Zach goes to his house, and then he goes, you know, because he's got the whole family at his house, and he's like, oh, yo, girls, guess what? Talitha's mean. You know what I mean? And then the girls come and talk to other girls. And then before you know it, everybody's like, yeah, Talitha, she's kind of mad dog to everybody. You know what I mean? It's like, what? It's like, what? Dude, it's like, sometimes people in the church, your parents will come to me and they'll go, I think Pastor Scott's mad at me. No joke. And I'll be like, oh, why? And they'll be like, oh, well, he was teaching and he looked at me in the audience and he had this look at me, like with that. And I go, yeah, but he's German. You know what I mean? meaning it's kind of part of the German thing. You know what I mean? That real stern look. You know what I mean? It's like, it's not a Hitler thing, I think, but it's just a stern look. You know what I mean? And they're like, oh no, I think he's mad. I think he's really mad at me. And I'm like, no, dude, he's not mad at you. I know for a fact he's not mad at you. He's not, you know, but people get that way. You know, and it goes around. Now, if we read from the next verses, Paul tells us what to do. And I want you just to see kind of the vibe of this. So I'm going to read through it all. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind. Let me repeat that. I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind. Disunity is like walking like who? Like what? Like the Gentiles, right? Meaning it's like walking, when you walk in disunity in the church, you're walking like the unbeliever. That's what you're living like. Now notice he describes this life of the unbeliever, having their minds, having their understanding darkened. They are alienated from the life of God, who is a unit, because of their ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. They literally do not know unity because they do not know God. Who being past feeling, the unbeliever has given themselves over to lawlessness, lewdness. You know what lewdness is? Miley Cyrus did lewdness. Meaning when you act that way publicly and show it's good, that is considered lewdness. People who do not know God. That's what it's... Paul's saying, don't live like someone who doesn't know God. Because Christians can. Live in a way just like the rest of the world. Miley Cyrus at some point claimed Ephesians chapter 5. We heard her say that her favorite verse was chapter 5, verse 8 of Ephesians. You were once darkness, but you are now light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. We saw an interview with her years ago where she said that verse. And she was on that stage doing that. That's called lewdness. Even to a person who says she's a Christian and lives like that. She's walking like the unregenerate. Like someone who hasn't been born again. Verse 20 says, but you have not so learned in Jesus. You haven't learned this about Jesus, man. Dude, he's about reconciliation, unity. It says, if indeed you have heard of him, if indeed you have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct. This is what we do. I put off concerning my former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to its deceitful lust. I'm going to put off the old man and I'm going to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. In order to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, you need to have your mind on spiritual things. And that means you have to have your mind in the Bible. Because the Bible is a spiritual discerned book. It is written by the Holy Spirit through men. So if your mind's not in the Word of God, then you're not going to have really a renewed spirit that much. And that you put on the new man, which was created according to God. Okay, your new man is created according to God, who is a unit, who is the one who reconciled us, Jesus. So we're to put on that in true righteousness and holiness. Now therefore, check this out, verse 25. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor. For we are members of one another. Man, why would I hurt my own body? Why would I hurt my own body? Jesus says, no one ever hurts his own body. He nourishes it, cherishes it. You guys wake up. Most of you take showers. Most of you look in the mirror. Take care of yourself. Why would you hurt someone? Why would you hurt your own? In the church, we're all part of the same body. We're all part of one another. Why would I want to hurt any of you? Isn't that ridiculous? Why would I want to backbite any of you guys? Why would I want to put any of you down? That just hurts me. It says, verse 26, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Are you angry towards someone? Don't let the sun go down. Deal with it. Let him who stole, which is the devil, steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. If someone's being lazy, stop being lazy. That's what he says. Let no corrupt, check this one out, verse 29. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for the necessary building up, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Isn't that cool? Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Because if you do, verse 30, you will grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as Christ has forgave you. Is that cool? Is that not a killer chapter? Do you see how many cool things are in that chapter? Just that one chapter alone. That's why I wanted you guys to do a report on it. Because I want you guys to understand that in light of who Jesus is and what he's done for us, man, dude, why would I want to be so bent at people? We want this church to grow. But it's only going to grow to the place where you guys, check this out, not me, but it's only going to grow to the place that you guys, that God has you guys. Does that make sense? if you guys aren't ready because of your dissension, God won't grow it. He's going to say, you guys ain't ready. You ain't ready for any more people because you guys don't know how to love. You don't know how to love. You know how to talk about other people, but you don't know how to love. Myself, I would love to see it grow. I'd love to see other new people come in. New converts. New people. But that means that we need to walk in unity too. We need to, before that happens. You know what I mean? So that's going to be my prayer, you know, for us, for sure. And that's why it's grown to where it's at, by the way. That's the encouraging part. Is that's why it's grown to where it's at. It's because there is unity. And so we already know we're doing pretty good. You know what I mean? It's at this place now. But just think what happens if we get even more united. You know what I mean? If we get more in love with each other. That we even go more the distance in that love for one another and care for one another. Then man, just the limits that can happen is endless, you know, in Christ. So I would say this week, man, if you have any Bible reading to do, just mark Ephesians 4, go over it over and over and over again. Everything is right there, man. Everything for Christian living is right there. So I hope you guys do that, okay? Let me pray for you guys real quick. Father, we thank you so much for our time together, how fun it was. Thank you so much for the game time, Lord. Maybe next week we'll try it again and we'll maybe split up into groups and see if we could actually do it, Lord. We ask that this word would be written on our hearts. And we do thank you so much that you do use us, you do work through us. You speak to our hearts, Lord, in Ephesians 4, and we ask that you would continue to do so. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.